Before I begin my message today, there is something that I failed to mention that I want to announce at this time. It came to my attention recently that we have someone here in the church that is in need of help, and I spoke with the deacons about this Wednesday evening, and they felt it would be best for me to announce today that we are planning to take up a special offering for that next Sunday. So please keep that in mind if you would. I'm amazed at how the Lord puts things together. But you know, God knows exactly how to orchestrate a service. We don't know that, but God does. You and I today could think of things that we might like to see done, and I'm sure that we would miss the mark, because God knows everybody's heart. And in saying that, I want to say that in the Sunday school lesson that I heard today, it was hard for me to even sit still. I had no idea. Sometimes I think that the Lord will be in the matter, to where sometimes I think it might be hard for people to think that we don't conspire. But I had no idea what Brother Wheat would say in his lesson today and what direction he would take. I had no idea that he would say the things that he said about the importance of the Lord's Day and assembling in the house of the Lord. All I know is that this has been a difficult week for me, because the Lord put this thought on my heart this past Monday, and I've had to wait all week to preach it. And I think in doing that, it's opened up a whole new understanding to me of the word long-suffering. But my message today will be titled, The Reasons For and the Benefits of Assembling. And I want to read from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. If you would like to read with me in the lesson, please turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to begin reading with verse 19 of that chapter. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And as I begin this message today, I want to ask you once again to pray. Pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, and that as the message goes forth, that the word of the Lord will have its free course. when I am burdened with things of this nature, I often have the thought, and I thought about that this week as I studied, and I have no idea who the message is for today. That's not my department. I just want to preach the things that God has burdened my heart to preach and let God use it where He wants to use it. Perhaps this is something today that we all need to be reminded of. Perhaps this is something today that we need to have a clearer understanding of. But I want to ask you today, as the message goes forth, to begin, I want you to ask yourselves the question, why did I come today? What are you here for today? Obviously, there must be a reason based upon the fact that you are indeed here. But I want us to think about what the Bible teaches, and I believe that it does teach us this. The reason that we do this and the benefits of doing this very thing of assembling together. I believe that there are things that take place when the people of God assemble together, and I'm going to endeavor to prove this statement by the Scriptures. I believe there are things that take place, things that happen, when the people of God assemble together to worship that you are not going to get any other way. There's no other way that they're going to be accomplished. And if we, as individuals today, if we think about that question, why are we here? Certainly the verse here in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, verse 25, is sufficient in itself to answer the question. Why do we assemble? Because God told us to. That's really reason enough, isn't it? God told us in His Word that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But surely when you get ready for this, when you get ready to come to the house of God, surely there's more involved than just a sense of duty. I believe that we are bound by duty. Every one of us as members of the Lord's church, I do believe that we are bound by duty to be here. But we ought to be here out of much more than a sense of duty. Those of us that are blessed enough to be saved by the grace of God and privileged enough to be members of the Lord's church should have a burning desire and zeal in our hearts to want to assemble together. And if and when that ever slips away from your life, you need to go to God and you need to pray about that. Because that should always be there. If you look in the 122nd Psalm in verse 1, you're going to find where David said, "And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And we should have something within us that makes us desire that to the point that it would make us have the same attitude that David had. I was glad when it was time to go. This is, to me, this day is the best day of the week that I have. When we assemble here on the day that the Lord has set aside, and I want to remind everybody here today the same as Brother Wheat did this morning in the Sunday school lesson, that we are gathered here today on a day that the Lord hallowed, and He told us to remember this day and to keep it holy. This day is sanctified, set apart by God for a holy purpose. And I'm going to tell you something, and you may not agree with this statement, and if you don't, then I'm going to say you're just going to have to go and study about it. But I believe that it's true. If you crowd the Sabbath out of your life, you're going to eventually crowd God out also. Because He has hallowed this day and said that we are to keep it set aside for holy purpose. And for thousands of years now, the people of God have assembled upon the first day of the week and held religious worship service. And everything that we do here today ought to be about worshiping the Lord. If you're here today for any other purpose than that, then you've come for the wrong reason. We ought to be here today to worship the one that's truly worthy of all of our praise, all honor, and all glory. But I want to go back to what I said just a moment ago, that it ought to be the desire of the hearts of all of God's children to be together in His house. And I want to make sure that you understand what I believe about this. I don't believe that this building, and before I say that, let me insert this. We have a beautiful building here at Fairview Memorial. We have a building that has been built, and it has been dedicated to God. And it has been dedicated to Him for a particular purpose, for His people to come together in an assembly of worship. And I know that the building is not the church. The church is the body of people that make it up. But you know, nevertheless, I do believe that it is indeed proper to call this place the house of the Lord. The place when the tabernacle was established and it was set up and they assembled there as a nation of people and carried out the rituals of that service, it was called the house of the Lord. When the temple was built there in Jerusalem and they carried on in the temple the same rites and things that they had there in the tabernacle, it was called the house of the Lord. And the church is a spiritual house of the Lord. And the sanctuaries that we have built in order to worship in are rightfully called the house of the Lord. Don't be ashamed to call it the house of the Lord. And Jesus told us that His house would be a house of prayer. And I'll tell you what, friends, you just simply cannot replace the power that is to be found in the united prayers of the people of God. I love to come to church. I'm going to say this, and I want you to know that I'm not trying at all. I'm not trying to be boastful in any way, and I think that you know that. But since I've been here in Bowling Green, I have found so many interesting things to do. And when I first came here, we were still involved in the winter Bible study on Tuesday evenings, and I loved coming to that. And then I come here on Wednesday evenings to meet with the youth in the church basement. And then after that, at 7 o'clock when our service starts, I come up here and meet in our prayer meeting. On Thursday evenings at 7 o'clock, I go attend the meetings of the student union group there at Western. On Friday morning, about 8 o'clock, almost every Friday morning, I get up and I go to the chapel service at Old Union, where they have chapel service with the students there at Old Union School. And then back here on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And the reason I do that is because my heart desires it. I love it. I love to be with the people of God. And I don't know why anybody that's been saved would not want to be with the people of God. And I'm going to tell you something, friends, and I want to be very straightforward in what I say. For people that profess to be saved and don't seem to have that desire, I'm afraid I don't understand that, and I don't want to understand it. I don't believe it's right. I believe there's something wrong, something drastically wrong for anybody that is a child of God that would not want to be with the people of God. But many times, we have seen it many times throughout the years, that there are people that profess that and they will absent themselves from church. They will just leave all of that behind and they'll stay gone for years and years and years. And there are people that have been on the rolls of our churches for many years that haven't darkened the doors in 25 or 30 years. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure why we retain them as members. We've got some duties here. We've got some duties. But nevertheless, it ought to be our greatest desire. I thought about this when I studied, and let me ask this question. Why would you not want to be assembled in a meeting if you're here, just because you feel like it's a duty or something like that? If you're struggling with this, why would it not be the desire of your heart to assemble together with your brothers and sisters in Christ in a place and in a meeting where God Himself seems so delighted to attend? He does, doesn't He? He shows up among us many times, doesn't He? I'll tell you what, when the people of God come together and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move among us and begins to bless our hearts, and we begin to feel the presence of Him who is invisible, when God moves upon people's hearts and they begin to shout the praises of the Lord like we hear people do from time to time, and we know that God is there, we know that God is with us, we know that the one that we can't see with our natural eye but only feel with our heart is present and walking among us. Friends, I'm going to tell you that as far as I'm concerned, that's the closest that we're ever going to get to heaven on earth. We're never going to get any closer here on earth. We're never going to have a better picture of heaven. We're never going to have at least any more understanding of it while we're here on earth than we're going to have in those services where God is present with us and has just taken over the service and lifted our hearts and made us rejoice in hope and the glory of a living God. Friends, we've got something to assemble for. We need to be together. In Psalms 133, verse 1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." To do what? To dwell together. You know, the only thing, unity is not the only thing that's spoken about there. It says how good and how pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. Friends, listen, there are things here that I have in common with you. One thing especially, and Jude wrote about it when he wrote about the common salvation. There are things that I have in common with you that are gathered here today that I don't have in common with many of the people that I meet out in the world throughout my week. You know, I just can't relate to somebody that wants to drink alcohol and that wants to party. You know, people that we may encounter through the course of our week, somebody that you may work with or something like that, that wants to live a riotous life and their thoughts are just on evil continually. I can't relate to people like that. I can't relate to that type of lifestyle. But for those that know the Lord, and listen, there are many religious people that I just simply can't relate to. I can't relate to somebody that's basing their hope upon the fact that they were baptized in water. I can't relate to somebody that's basing their hope upon of eternal life upon just trying to live a good life. Friends, listen, I didn't get my relationship with God that way. I don't have a kindred spirit with those. But when I come together with you and you begin to praise the Lord, I love to hear people get happy and shout the praises of God. I don't like it if it's, you know, if it's manufactured, but I love it when it's real. I love to hear people get happy and shout the praises of God. And when you begin to testify of what God has done in your life and in your soul, I can relate to that type of experience. We've got a kindred spirit among us that we don't have with anybody else. We need to be, and I want to talk about what I believe is a very important reason for us doing this. Friends, we just simply need to be refueled. We need to be refueled. We need to leave here today. When our services conclude today, we need to leave here and go out and do the work of the Lord. We need to do it among our neighbors, among our co-workers, our family and friends, reaching out to people that are not saved. We need to go out into the highways and the hedges and do the work of the Lord. But you know, you can stop and you can fuel up your gas tank in your car and you can drive and you can make it for a while. But eventually you're going to have to stop and you're going to have to refuel. And listen, our spiritual lives are exactly the same way when we go out there through the week as individuals and we try to do the work of the Lord. We're going to need to be refueled. And I believe that's what we get when we come together. And, you know, I hope and pray that all of you today came together with great anticipation of having a full tank when you leave here today. Brother Wheat used the allegory that we need our battery charged, and we do. And I'll tell you what, that's what I get. That's what I get out of it. There have been things, you know, like David said in one of the Psalms when he said, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place wherein thine honor dwelleth." And there have been things, the first time back in the early 80s when I ever had the privilege to attend the old Union Minister School and come together with my preacher brothers there and study from the Word of God and fellowship with each other that were out there, preaching the same thing that I was trying to preach. I mean, one visit and I was hooked. I was hooked. It was something I wanted to be at every time they met. Let me tell you something. Every member of the Lord's church, and this has bothered me from day one. The very first church that I ever pastored there at Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Fortville, Indiana, from the very time that I took up pastoring, this has bothered me, ever since that time, that there are those are members of the Lord's church and they will not take the time to hear their pastor preach. I have met people that are members of the church, and friends, listen, I'm not talking about because of them being sick or something and not able to come. I'm talking about because the assembling of together has just been forsaken and neglected. I have met people that are members of the church where I was pastoring long after I began to pastor that had never heard a single sermon. Friends, that's not right. And it's not for his benefit. And I want to make sure that I clarify that. But you need to hear your pastor preach. You know why? Because you need a steady diet from the Word of the Lord. If you neglect the nutrition of your natural body, if you don't feed your natural body, if you don't give it the things that it needs for nutrition, we all know what's going to happen, don't we? We know that our body will get weak, and the longer we neglect it, the weaker it's going to get, and it's finally going to get to the place where it just simply will not function. It won't function. It'll be so weak that the arms won't work and the legs won't work and it just won't be of any use. And friends, I'm telling you, the same thing holds true in our spiritual life. If we don't refuel, if we don't get fed that proper spiritual nutrition that can only come from feasting on the Word of the Lord, our spirituality will weaken to the point that we will not be of any use to God. If you want to tell me, and I'm going to be very plain in what I say, if you want to tell me that you can get just as much from God by staying home as you can by coming together and assembling with the people of God, I'm going to say before you today that you will never convince me of that. The church is an ekklesia. You look up the Greek word from which the word church was derived, and you'll find out the church is an ekklesia, which is a called out assembly. It's a called out assembly. And so there are things that we need to come together for. And you know, someone may rise up and may issue the challenge and they may say, well, you know, are you telling me that I can't stay at home and just read the Bible for myself? I mean, if the diet that I need comes from the Word of the Lord, can't I stay home and just read the Bible for myself and get it in that way? Friends, listen, I'm going to say no. And I believe that the Word of God will settle the argument. You look in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul wrote to the church there at Ephesus, and he said, when Jesus ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. And he drops on down in the 11th verse of that chapter and he says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose did Jesus do that? Well, it says that he did it for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God set the office of pastor in the church, and it was through the men that fill that office, that ought to be placed in that office by the Holy Spirit of God. It was through men that fill that office that the people of God are fed. Does not the Bible plainly tell us that it is the responsibility of the pastor to feed the flock of God? What does he feed them with? He feeds them with the word of the Lord. You look in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it is. He said to the elders there to feed the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof. It is the responsibility of the pastor to spiritually feed and nourish the church of the living God. And if the pastor fails to feed the flock, then he will weaken the flock. And if the sheep won't feed on what they're being fed, then they'll weaken themselves. You cannot be the Christian that you need to be if you forsake the assembling of yourselves together with the people of God. I want to try to cover all the bases here, if I can. Sometimes people are sick and they're not able to come to church. And you may wonder in your heart, well, does that mean that they can't get what they need? Unfortunately, yes, it does. And I'm going to prove that to you by just saying this very thing. Throughout the years of my life, I couldn't even tell you how many people that I have visited that are sick and not able to come to church that have told me the same thing. I would give anything to be able to be there. Is there something lacking? Even though they're sick and not able to be there, and thank God that they do have the scriptures to read and they do have something to comfort them, but even though they're sick and not able to be there, yet they realize that something is missing from their life because they're not able to go and assemble anymore. I heard that. I had that very thing told to me this week by somebody that was laying in a hospital bed and not able to get up. She said, "Brother Miller, I would give anything to be back at church." Something's missing there, isn't it? Nothing will replace the assembling together of God's people. I've had some of the best times that I've ever had in my life in the house of the Lord. I'm glad that God's not confined within four walls. I'm glad and thankful that when we go out into our daily lives every day that He can be with us. I'm glad that God can bless us in other places. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is willing to walk with us and help us when we're out there testifying to people, and He's able to use us in that way when we're not assembled. But I want to use this, and again, this has already been said this morning in the Sunday school lesson. God put the same thing on my heart. I'm going to tell you one great benefit that there is in the assembly of the saints, and that is strength, friends. There is strength in this. I gain strength to walk another mile. I gain strength to go on and serve God further because I come together and assemble with His people and feast upon their testimonies and feast upon His word. Listen, I want to know the burdens of my brothers and my sisters. You know why? Because the Bible tells me that we ought to bear each other's. We ought to bear each other's burdens. If one of us is suffering, then all of the members are supposed to suffer. If one member is honored, then all are supposed to rejoice. And I want to know what goes on in the lives of my brothers and my sisters, that I may know how to pray for them, that I may know what's troubling them, that I may know what's burdening them. Friends, listen, we ought to confess our faults one to another. We ought to share our burdens one to another. We ought to desire that those of us that love each other the way that we do would be found praying for one another. And those things we accomplish by assembling ourselves together and letting our petitions be made known. We accomplish that. People that take off and leave the church behind and sometimes can't even be found. Nobody knows what's going on with them. I've told the church already since I've been here, I've got a son and a daughter-in-law. As far as I know, they're lost. And you know what? That was one of the first things I wanted you to know when I came here. I want you to pray for them. I want my church to know that. And we need to share our burdens with each other and help each other carry our burdens. And we can only accomplish that by assembling together and letting those things be made known. If you don't care for the assembling of the saints, you're not going to like heaven. That's what it's going to be. If you don't think that Jesus loves His people being together, you look at what He said in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. He said, I'm going to prepare a special place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The ultimate plan of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ultimate goal for His people is to be assembled forever in eternity with Him, never again to be separated. That's how much that He loves the assembly of His people. He wants us to have it for eternity. For eternity. Are you glad today to be here? Did you come today expecting great things to happen? You know, you may say at times, you may say, well, listen, you know, preacher, the problem is, I understand what you're saying, but the problem is, I just don't seem to get anything out of it. Let me tell you something, friends. Let me give you a little bit of advice today. When you come to the house of God and you assemble with your brothers and sisters in Christ and you hear the singing of the hymns and you hear the Word of God preached, if you're not getting anything, maybe you need to try giving some. I guarantee you when you come to a service, if you'll pray for the message, you'll get more out of it. If you'll lift up your heart in praise when we sing songs, they'll sound sweeter to you and they'll bless you more. If you'll give cheerfully to the Lord, you won't begrudge anything that you give because God loves a cheerful giver. And whatever we give to the Lord, whether it's our time, our finances, whatever it is, whatever we give to the Lord, we ought to give it all to Him with a great sense of worship in our hearts towards Him. Giving is a duty, but you know what else? It's a great privilege. It's a wonderful privilege to give to the Lord. It's a worship. Giving is a worship. And we accomplish these things when we come together in the house of God. So many times, being gathered together, the people of God get happy in the Lord. We begin to lose our dignity. We begin to let go of the flesh and to worship. Begin to embrace each other with a good Christian hug or a good Christian handshake. And we begin to feel just a little bit about what heaven is going to be. I've seen people in the house of the Lord that had been upset with each other for quite some time, and there, even in that assembly, God would move upon both of their hearts and they'd give in, and before you know it, they'd embrace each other. They'd ask each other's forgiveness and patch things up, and everything would be all right after that. There's been so much good that has happened for many, many, many years now by God's people coming together, and we ought to never forsake it. I would like to encourage everybody. You know, we meet here on Sunday morning, and I'm thankful for everybody that comes. We meet here on Sunday evening, and I'd like to encourage you to come to that. We meet here on Wednesday evening. I'd like to encourage you to that. Well, I'll tell you what, you couldn't offer me $1 million for what happened here this past Wednesday evening when we come together and begin to pray. I mean, no amount of money could buy that. I'd like to encourage you to come to all of the services. There may be some that just for some reason absolutely can't. But if you can, I'd like to encourage you to come to all of them. I believe God will bless you for doing it. It's good to be here. Good to be in the Lord's house. I love it. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord for all of my time on earth. I know I'm going to dwell in His house forever, but I want to dwell in His house all of my time on earth as well. And I'm thankful for the assembly of the saints. Listen, friends, don't forsake it in your lives. If you do, you're not going to be what God would have you to be. I'm going to ask if anybody has a word on your heart at this time. Anything at all? Let's remember these requests, Sister Carol Watts and Sister Reba Duvall, in our prayers. Brother Sanford, could we just have a verse or two of a song, please? Let's all stand and have a song together.